Dealings between contractors and the government can get difficult and contentious, yet it's important to keep discussions from getting overly nasty or personal. It may be tempting at times, but it will cost you in the long run. That's according to Tim Sullivan, a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn. He's author of the blog, A Government Contractor's 10 Commandments. Today he tackles the 7th commandment, avoid hostilities. Even though there are processes for protests, disputes, and appeals, a contractor should exercise caution and restraint when pursuing these avenues.
The atmospherics over the past couple of years politically have been unfortunately laced with hostility, but we're talking about business people and business deals, and hostility doesn't do you any good in the context of a business deal, and that's what government contractors are involved in.
And so what happens when there is hostility, and what can cause hostility in contracts, just not getting a deal?
Well, we're talking about two different things, Tom. We're talking about money, always, and we're also talking about how people deal with each other. And if you ever drop your guard and get a little too personal in your dealings with your customer or with your supplier, things can get hot really fast. In criminal law, they call it an escalating encounter. And that can come back and haunt a contractor because in today's government contracting world, the concept of past performance is huge. And it's an evaluation factor in every significant procurement. And what that means is that the contracting agency always has the last word, really, when it comes to what happens as a result of a blow-up like that. If the contracting agency says that the contractor is not committed to the best interests of the government or things like that, that looks bad in a performance review. And this is, I would say that past performance is the number one behavior modification tool in government contracting today. And because of the role that past performance plays, contractors should be very careful about ever letting things get into the point where they constitute hostilities. You can be firm, you can be fervent in the way you make your arguments, but you don't want to get personal, you don't want to shout, you don't want to yell. Table pounding, those kinds of things can come back to haunt you.
And I guess it's probably fair to say that people tend to do business more, and this could even be true of contracting officers, with people they like or people who are likable. Aren't they more likely to be able to convince someone of the reason why their deal is the best one?
Well, absolutely, Tom. And you and I have talked about this in a number of different ways over the past couple of months. Relationships are very important. But remember, a lot of things today are done simply by email. And in my view, and I think you agree, we've had discussions about this, that's just a partial relationship. And so you always run the risk of alienating people by writing something the wrong way when you're in a bad mood, putting things in all caps that tends to tick people off. This isn't the kind of stuff you want to do.
I guess also that's true because email is a medium that doesn't have the nuance of spoken language, let alone face-to-face language. And a lot of people run into bad ground that way.
Right. It's one-dimensional, and that is a huge problem. Plus, you lose control of it. We've talked about this once you hit the send button. And the next thing you know, your customer's boss might be calling your boss to talk about your behavior. And that is not a call you want to hear about.
Now, in federal contracting, there's also the option to protest, which is a form of lawsuit. And not too many industries allow for suing your customer because you don't get the work. And so can this be initiated in a way that doesn't ruin the relationship?
Well, protests are a very interesting dimension of government contracts, Tom, because it is literally suing your potential customer, right? Because you're usually protesting about the way a solicitation is written that you don't think is fair, and you're asking this potential customer to fix it. Or you're protesting the award or the announcement of an award to one of your competitors. So you don't even have a relationship yet, and you're already protesting. Now, the government understands the protest world. They're well prepared to defend their protests. They win about 70% of the time, basically, if you look at the GAO statistics. So it is in their favor. But if you're going to make a protest, you do it in a professional, measured way. You stick with the facts. You don't make personal arguments. You don't use the words bad faith. You keep it on a business level.
And so protests can be done in a way that keeps it from being personal. And is that the way you feel that contracting officer, I mean, they must be used to this. And so
well, They're used to, when you talk about they and you talk about the Department of the Army, for example, yes, the Army gets hundreds of protests every year, but individual contracting officers could go through a career without ever having dealt with a protest. And when they get their first one, it hits them like a bombshell. Even if they think they have a winner, they tend to take it personally. And so, you don't want to make it personal. You don't want to give them any reason to think it's personal, and their lawyers should be able to talk them off the ledge if they are taking it personally. But you don't want to do anything that would ascribe improper intentions and motives on the part of the government contracting people. Stick with the facts, make your arguments, and let your lawyers tell you whether you actually ought to file this thing. I mean, it's ultimately the client's decision. But sometimes a lawyer who's experienced this is going to look at them and say, listen, this is a dead bang loser. Just sit out, keep your powder dry until you've got a good protest. This is not one of them. You can develop a reputation as someone who protests everything, including the sun rising. That's not what you want to be as a government contractor.
Tim Sullivan is a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn and author of The Ten Commandments of Federal Contracting. We're talking today about the seventh commandment, thou shalt avoid hostility. And is it a good idea to let the contracting officer know ahead of time that you plan to file a protest? And in so informing him or her, you could make sure that it is done in a diffused way.
Sometimes there's no time, Tom. You just have to move on these things and you can't do it. You certainly can do that. If it's not someone you've had a relationship, in terms of a protest, I don't think it's necessary to let a CO know in advance. I think it's different when I think about the claims process, which is what you get involved in once you've had an award made to you and you're performing, and then you get into a dispute and a potential claim. Then you want to talk to the contracting officer. Then you want to let her know in advance so that there are no surprises and things. But protests, the only exception to that would be if I don't like what I see in a solicitation and I've got enough time, I reach out to the CO and say, hey, we've got concerns about provision H-12. Could you take a look at that? Here's our concern. And maybe they make the correction. But you don't often have the time to do that.
And let's switch gears here for a minute. Sometimes companies that get into trouble, they might be the subject of a debarment or suspension proceeding. And they could go to the press and try to press the case there. That's probably not a good idea either.
Well, it's a little bit like email, Tom. You're a journalist, so I want to be careful about this, but you have no control of a story once it gets into the media. And it's amazing how often it can spin in the wrong direction.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that.
So I just don't think going to the press is a great idea. Now, I will say that there are times in my career since the early 70s where maybe a handful of times I've said to our clients, you know what, we've exhausted every other possibility we've got. We may want to get the story out there. And we've done it a couple of times, but we don't do it on a regular basis.
That's almost the equivalent of going to Congress. You save that one for the one time in your career that you really need it.
Right. You can't do it all the time. And it's just, you've got to deal with these issues on your own and trying to resolve them on your own. If you have good counsel on these things, that really helps because they don't have an emotional investment in the thing and they can look at you with the cold, steely eyes you want them to look at you with and say, don't waste your money on this.
And what about alternative dispute resolution procedures? When and where should those be invoked? And can they take a dispute to a less hostile level than a protest or some other means?
Oh, by all means. ADR, Alternative Dispute Resolution, has been around probably 20 years or so, really, the way we've used it in government contracts. And it is really a wonderful way for parties to resolve their differences without burning the bridges between them. If, as I point out in this commandment, the thing I like most about ADR is it allows the parties to set the schedule. If I've got an appeal pending at the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals or at the Civilian Board of Contract Appeals or the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, I always have the chance to choose, if the parties agree, alternative dispute resolution. And in my view, it's a great way to work out your differences without destroying the relationship in the process.